This is Mae Bressel. It is part two of a program titled World Watchers. In case you picked it up in the middle, I always wonder what you think if you're hearing it and you don't know who's talking and what they're saying. It's side two of broadcast number 741. Now, the second category of articles of interest to me this week go under the grant from the Hughes Medical Institute, where the money is going and what it is for. February the 3rd, 1986, just 2 days before the President's Day of the Union message on AIDS as a topic of importance or interest to him, the article went in to say how the Hughes Medical money would be distributed. The profits from Hughes aircraft from the Pentagon warfare machinery go into an institute whose offices are in Florida and also in Maryland, the headquarters in Maryland and in Florida. And their money is going, hunks of it, billion this year, and they can keep doing this every year. They never run out of money. A large hunk of it is going into genetics, to immunity, to reproduction, which could equal also sterilization if you wanted it to. And the role of DuPont Corporation to the Hughes Medical Institute and the distribution of money to Baylor in Texas and Boston, Massachusetts, and Stanford in particular, because of Stanford's relationship to that very dangerous article on AIDS that was in the newspaper last week. The relationship of DuPont to Hughes Medical Institute and the money going to Stanford and to those institutions that would get Pentagon money, and this is equal to Defense Department money or biological warfare, getting this extra to these front organizations to work in along the project that the president has stated as a situation that needs his attention, and be careful when he gives it attention. The third area that I'm going into is the specific White House pressure to force the Environmental Protection Agency in November of 1985 to approve of genetically altered bacteria in Monterey County. Why would the White House specifically be pushing the EPA, and I'll cite the articles on that for you, and this top priority of AIDS that the Defense Department will be working on is interesting, but the live genetically altered bacteria with a specific gene removed affects the immune system by their own admission if you're weak or sick or have cancer or other diseases. And also, as far as AGS, they cite themselves in their brochure as an Oakland company. And they, in articles in the newspaper, they say they're a small Oakland company. Actually, Robert Naylor, who I talked about before on World Watchers, worked a long time as a DuPont researcher. He's currently at Roman Haas. Roman Haas were partners with DuPont, IG Farben, with Hitler's Germany. Mr. Rome is German. Mr. Haas is from Philadelphia. And they combined, literally trading with the enemy and working and assisting for the transition of Hitler after he won the war to continue their profits. Mr. Naylor, if not more, is a common denominator between Roman Haas and DuPont, and now on the board of AGS. And Mr. Adams, the founder of the company, came from, in 1969, he founded AGS. He came from the offices of Sullivan and Cromwell, the company that had Alan Dulles and John Foster Dulles, who obtained from IG Farben 34 million assets that drove the youth of this country crazy, part of Operation Chaos, chemical experimentation, biological warfare. Adams came from the offices of Sullivan and Cromwell to form this company. Mr. Thomas Diot is from Princeton and Roman Haas. Mr. Pal Malig is from Hungary. The money coming into AGS, they call themselves an Oakland company, 25% comes from Roman Haas, which is a multi-billion corporation that I've barely touched upon. The other money comes from Sweden, interestingly enough, and from Belgium. Now, you have to, and Canada. The Europeans are bringing to the United States, specifically Monterey County, with the pressure of the White House, from Europe to put genetically altered bacteria into no other place but first Monterey County. It doesn't make sense. The company said they lost $6 million last year. They hope to make $200 million or more from getting this thing moving along. the bringing in of foreign money to Monterey County is outrageous, and the president pushing it is outrageous, that he wants to push this, knowing his track record and the people around him who would not be against genocide and brought people who committed genocide to this country and even lied about their background. So I'm going into the articles on the advanced genetic scientists in the last week. There was one in yesterday's paper in the Monterey Herald called No Strawberry Fields Forever, and it tells how this company, AGS, has spent $20 million so far on this test, and they're going to put it in a frost-free area. Now, correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe that Belgium and Sweden have frost. So why are they coming to Monterey County? Why is the president approving it and pushing it, not approving it? And the link of the White House to foreign capital to Monterey County is horrendous. Now, the next category, along with that, the president pushing the AIDS in his speech, the Hughes DuPont connections and Stanford to the AIDS speech, and the intent that they're going to use military money and what they're going to do with it, the White House pressure for AGS and it being a foreign and a German-American corporation and Swedish and Belgium with no idea of who has the buckaroos behind this or their intent. The next section four I'm going into is the secret drug aboard the shuttle Discovery, the San Francisco Chronicle, June 22nd, 1984. There's a cabin, a miniature pharmacy set up by Mr. Walker, Charles Walker. He was from a civilian drug company in 1984 was when the Discovery went up. And he was working for a civilian drug company. And that's the one that our astronaut Judith Resnick was on the same flight when the laboratory was set up. Now, the people who paid for the laboratory were McDonnell Douglas, Defense Department contractors, and the Ortho Pharmaceutical Division of Johnson & Johnson. Now, Johnson & Johnson are the makers of Tylenol. They compete with IG Farben, the company that made those $34 million of LSD to ruin and wipe out a whole section of youthful potential protesters and artists in the 60s and 70s. IG Farben that made Zyklon B, the gas at Auschwitz, the extermination gas. They compete with Johnson & Johnson, and just as of this past week, recurring from what we had 4 years ago that was never solved or tidied up, is the aspirin versus the Tylenol conflict that I'll get to in a minute. So maybe there's somebody trying to push Johnson & Johnson out of the space project. But millions would be involved in this project, and they were working in space on interferon, the immune serum, as part of their projects. This came out in 1984. Also in 1984, there was another article in the San Jose Mercury, First Space Business Trip Flies. You see, Christa McAuliffe wasn't the first civilian in space. There were a lot of them from Germany, Taiwan, Saudi Arabia, laboratories, and Charles Walker worked out of McDonnell Douglas in St. Louis, and Johnson & Johnson from New Jersey. And this article cited the secretiveness about the identity, the use of protein that would be submitted then to Federal Drug Administration, which is what AGS had to do also, is to get through AGS. And they were working on matters from cancer to asbestos poisoning. And this article cites Gerard O'Neill, the man who has designed the space stations that have been also described in Alternative 3 as the stepping stone to genocide of ridding this earth of probably 80% of the population. Gerard O'Neill linked to that NASA Nazi combine. In the article on space business, they quote him as saying that the pharmaceutical in business could be a $100 million, the shuttle business, $100 million by the end of the decade. Well, one way that Jim Jones got so much money, $3 or $4 million, which is pennies to that, from his members is to take their homes, their welfare, their saving, their social security. If you get rid of the people and their belongings, you could easily have $100 million in no time. As a matter of fact, that's what Hitler put in the Swiss banks by the time he took the gold and the cash and the money out of the banks and so forth. You get rid of the people and their art and their possessions, and you can pull in, he means by business. But Gerard O'Neill is mentioned in the article on the space trip and the Federal Drug and Food Administration and the testing from cancer to asbestos poisoning. He happens to be quoted in this article. And then you can turn to alternative three, the item of Gerard O'Neill and newspaper articles that just came out this past week on the history of the space shuttle of Richard Nixon and Spiro Agnew planning space stations and how they had to pull back for a while the funds for it. But Agnew, again, was funded by Tom Pappas, by the Greek Nazi military junta, the vice president who ran under Richard Nixon, and Gerard O'Neill's, the description of him side by side with his dream of the space shuttle, not the shuttle, but the space stations, you can read about in the book Alternative 3. So the one article on the secrecy of the labs doing their testing was in July 9th in Knight Ritter, San Jose Mercury, the Knight Ritter News. The other one on the secrecy of the space shuttle on immune serums and interferon as part of the projects is San Francisco Chronicle, June 22nd, 1984. And another article, Hush Hush Hormone Purified in Space. It involves interleukin white blood cells tested for cancer and AIDS. This is Washington Post, July 18th, 1984. The only article that called it AIDS specified AIDS, although I saved the articles from this time period. And then I'm going to cite another article. This was October the 3rd, 1984. I'll give you the details of the article, but I want you to have the overview that the drug chemicals aboard Discovery will be used in drugs for testing for the next year. That what they did up there, they would be testing. Now, Ronald Reagan's primary goal was to get California, the Environmental Protection Agency, to approve the tests in Monterey County or elsewhere for these genetically altered bacteria, and I'll cite the references on that. So the EPA was to approve this with pressure from the White House. The second point is that Stanford Research and the military would be mass testing for AIDS, which came out in February 9th, 1986, and the shuttle Discovery was working on the immune system, on AIDS, on viruses that would be tested a year later. And this was in July 1984. And then an article about Judith Resnick, the astronaut who went down on the spaceship Challenger that goes under the testing in space. Resnick worked 1974 to 1977 as a biomedical engineer and staff fellow in the Laboratory of Neurophysiology at National Institute of Health in Bethesda, Maryland. The LA Times, this is from the Daily Messenger. The LA Times, September the 3rd, 1985, last year, said that one of the goals, primary goals of the shuttle, spaceship shuttle, was the putting businesses into space, the economic reality, and one of the realities was the drugs and testing done by Johnson & Johnson and Douglas, at the same time, McDonnell Douglas, and Judith Resnick was a chemist, helping at the time where they were doing separations of hormones and proteins on that particular trip. She was part of that trip, cited LA Times, as I say, October the 3rd, 1985. Now, finally, the next point I want to make, which has to do with all of this, has to do with Johnson & Johnson up in space working on testing these particular drugs or whatever they're doing that do affect the immune system. Now, this past week, February 11th, 1986, was an article, Tainted Tylenol Linked to New York Death. The same day, February the 11th, 1986, Johnson & Johnson's stock falls in reaction to new Tylenol scare. Stock market dropped Johnson & Johnson. The third point is that February the 13th, 1986, 2 days later, there was an article, Sterling Drug, and that Sterling Drug is IG Farben, the ones that make the aspirin, the ones that made the $34 million for Alan Dulles and the CIA, the firm that was represented by Sullivan and Cromwell, whose attorney went off to form AGS in California. If you need to know any more about AGS, Sterling Drug, according to Wall Street Journal, a net loss. They lost money last year, but that's Bayer Aspirin. But Johnson & Johnson had a profit of 19%. So in February of 86, Johnson & Johnson, making their Tylenol and working with the space program, was ahead of Sterling Drug. But as the murder and the scares of the Tylenol came, the stock was supposed to and did drop of Johnson & Johnson. Now, an article February 15th, 1986, it was in the Associated Press and UPI, San Francisco Chronicle, said Tylenol hysteria blamed on TV, rather than mention alternatives of Tylenol, such as liquid that they manufacture or the solid pills, as against the capsules. The president of Johnson & Johnson, or the head spokesman for it, said that New York stations were saying on television and radio to the customers, switch your brands. Don't buy Tylenol. Well, the best known brand other than Tylenol is still aspirin, but they were losing. And I remind you again that Daniel D. Adams, the chief executive of AGS, of this international combine of Roman Haas, of IG Farben and DuPont, an attorney for Sullivan and Cromwell that made the $34 million that affected, particularly on the West Coast, the rock singers, the musicians, the acid, that affected more here, but all over the country. He worked with Sullivan and Cromwell and representing, you know, the Dulles' offices, Secretary of State and Director of the CIA, John Foster Dulles and Alan Dulles of the Warren Commission, who covered up the coup in 1963 of the murder of John Kennedy. He said to the Warren Commission, "You give me all the evidence of a conspiracy, and I'll handle that." Alan Dulles was behind the November 22nd, 63 United States coup. He was on the Warren Commission. His law offices were Sullivan and Cromwell. As a director of the CIA, he was always associated with them. They sent a man to California, to Oakland, to set up the AGS as a sister or a baby, where the multinationals were the front. And this is where the live altered genetic bacteria is supposed to be tested. But out of the Johnson & Johnson IG Farben combine, there's a link of Farben to the AGS via these institutions such as Sullivan and Cromwell. It isn't separated, so that the attack against Johnson & Johnson, I believe, is orchestrated. I did a lot of broadcasts on the conspiracy behind the trying to get Johnson & Johnson's Tylenol off the market, and the international implications, the Chicago bank implications, the stockbroker, and the real far-reaching implications of that. Maybe 4 years later they'll catch on that they didn't really touch the culprits, but that is the outline of material I want to share with you. Now, as I say, Ronald Reagan, in the New York Times, February the 6th, carries just as many newspapers do, but many local papers don't get this as thoroughly. It says, Reagan orders AIDS report, given high priority as a speech. The president announced today he's asked the Surgeon General of the United States to prepare a major report on AIDS, and the administration was committed to finding a cure. One of the highest public health priorities is to continue finding the cure, he said, and we're going to continue to develop and use vaccines to test vaccines, and we're going to focus on the prevention. Now, the prevention has to do with the isolation. The prevention of it means separating several segments of our population, local and worldwide. Now, to get to this article, which is so important, as I say, many of you haven't seen it, and if you write to me and send a self-addressed stamped envelope, I'll copy it for you. It's from the San Francisco Examiner, Sunday, February the 9th, and this is 4 days after Reagan is wanting to find not only a vaccine to cure it, but to prevent getting it. It's by David L. Kirk. The military is seriously considering spending $12.5 million to fund a study aimed at proving that AIDS is casually transmitted and at devising methods to control the disease that appear to be constitutionally, questionable. You remember last week I cited how NASA impounded the cameras and said it may be illegal to take them, but we did it. Well, they're saying in the very first paragraph, it may be constitutionally questionable But we have to control the disease, and what the president wants is to control the disease. The article goes on, the proposal, which contradicts established scientific data on AIDS, contemplates forbidden association between servicemen and members of high-risk groups, and quarantine of those who have been exposed to AIDS. Extreme public health measures may be necessary, says the proposal by San Francisco-based scientists seeking funding for the study. Remember, San Francisco is where they tested the immune system on the elderly and sprayed the bacteria from the bay into San Francisco. Some of the measures would be in direct conflict with the Constitution, the researchers concede. The drastic measures are not clearly spelled out in the proposal that was sent to the military. But a memo circulated among those working on the project mentions, in quotes, mandatory and overt identification of AIDS victims. However loathsome it is, they suggested, in quotes, a Star of David concept. The reference is the symbol Nazis used to publicly identify Jews. Initiators of the proposal are two scientific research organizations with a long history of work with the military. One has conducted biological and chemical warfare research. They are backed by a stellar list of collaborators, including scholars from the Hoover Institute at Stanford University, the conservative think tank that links President Reagan as an honorary fellow, and SRI Stanford Research International of Menlo Park. And those SRI, of course, comes out in the kidnapping of Patty Hearst and in the Jonestown experiments. The proposal's premise runs counter to overwhelming scientific opinion on acquired immune deficiency syndrome by asserting that the fatal disease will be proven communicable by touch or even close proximity to people with AIDS. It suggests that the disease be proven transmissible through tears, saliva, feces, urine, or sweat, and that infection can follow a sneeze or a cough, a mosquito bite, or something simple like touching a doorknob or a toilet handle used by somebody with the disease. Now, Adolf Hitler could prove a lot and get rid of millions of people by having his Gestapo prove what he wanted to be told in the first place. But this isn't a fringe group. This is coming out of the Hoover Institute, the people all along supporting Ronald Reagan hand in glove and the warfare state, out of Stanford Research and the Hoover Institute and the Defense Department. The article goes on. It projects a catastrophic epidemic within a decade, infection of 10% of the population and 68.2% of the military. A copy of the proposal marked confidential was obtained by the San Francisco Examiner by one of the authors. It says that it is consistent with the need going on now to avoid undue alarm until all the facts are in and prevalence of published and expressed medical conditions of AIDS infection, making sure it cannot occur through transmission of the virus. This paragraph or this sentence is very confusing, but that's the way it was written. It goes on, however, the non-medical public and the number of medical scientists are fearful that it may spread through various forms of casual contact, that some people tell you that it isn't spread that way, but non-medical public and a number of scientists are fearful that we're not being told the truth. Because it is a slow virus and the evidence of the incubation period is dosage related, illness becomes manifest later, many years later, after the causal infection occurs. It can therefore be argued that as cases result from low dosage casual contact, the conditions are not appearing on a widespread basis, so that many cases can surface in the years ahead. Both the premise and the research agenda of the proposal, which has passed an initial screening by the Army's Medical Research and Development Commission at Fort Detrick, Maryland, has drawn strong criticism from some health officials and researchers who are expertise on AIDS. The theory that casual contact AIDS infections could be dormant in the general public years before emerging as a full-blown illness is belied by blood tests that detect early exposure to the disease, researchers say, but that isn't going to stop them. They add that the studies of such tests in spreading outside the primary risk group, such as homosexuals, men, and users of injected drugs, is a problem that should be delved into. The study of these tests on how you get AIDS, but the study does show that the disease, which attacks the body's immune system, is transmitted through intimate sexual contact with someone who carries the virus. But that is not what the group wants to hear at Stanford or the Defense Department. The initiators of this proposal are called AIMS, as against AIDS. AIMS, Advanced Investigation of Medical Science Group. We know what their aims are. The Institute for Cancer Research, which is housed in the Pacific Presbyterian Medical Center. Remember that, the Pacific Medical Center. The Advanced Investigation of Medical Science, that's one group, and the Cancer Research Institute of Cancer Research is the other group. Since 1962, the AIMS group, the Advanced Investigation of Medical Science group, has done classified work on biological and chemical warfare. Two of the senior Hoover Institute scholars, who do economic and political analysis, who are working on the AIDS program, are Rita Ricardo Campbell, who was a leading contender to succeed Margaret Heckler as Secretary of Health and Human Services last year, and Richard Starr, a specialist on the Soviet Union, who headed America's delegation to the Mutual and Balanced Forced Reduction Talks in 1981 and 82. Glenn Campbell, director of the Hoover Institute, and Ricardo Campbell's husband denied the institution is formally involved with the project. These are individuals. The wife of the director of Hoover Institute and Richard Starr, the specialist on the Soviet Union, and our top people, rather, of the Hoover Institute, and Glenn Campbell is saying, these are individuals, these are only the piano players in the whorehouse. They don't know, the piano players in this case is the Hoover Institute, and the whores are Rita Ricardo Campbell and Richard Starr. He said, these are individuals acting on their own at this time. Now, the president, in his State of the Union message, has gone into AIDS. The revelation of this link of chemical biological warfare and Hoover Institute and Stanford Research just came out 4 days later, not coincidentally, and Hoover Institute so close to the president who's pushing this, and the president is pushing the testing of the genetic altered bacteria in Monterey County. It can't be that they're acting on their own when there's articles that specifically cite the White House. The article goes on, the research proposal says that the consultative group of senior scholars, the Hoover Institute, Stanford University, will be paid $346,000 to assess current knowledge on AIDS and to study the legal, the ethical, and the political considerations, which means isolating individuals with Star of David armbands. The article goes on, we went to Hoover for their political and economic expertise, said Daniel Thor of the Institute on Cancer Research, one of the two principal investigators on the project. They are part of the old Stanford Pacific Presbyterian Network, the Hoover Institute. This hospital used to be Stanford's medical center before they moved to Palo Alto. Thor and Sherwin Miller of AIMS, Advanced Investigation of Medical Science, that do classified work for biological and chemical warfare. The other, that's Sherwin Miller, the other principal investigator, said they met with several senior staff members of the Hoover Institute in the fall. SIR is slated for a major role in the study. The design of intense techniques for modifying the behavior of servicemen to lessen their possible exposure to AIDS. To modify the behavior of servicemen to lessen their exposure. The proposal wants $12.5 million of the military's $40 million budget for AIDS research. Remember when I cited the $40 million that the defense wanted for research? Now they're putting $12.5 million to show that it is transferred to people through the saliva, the doorknobs, and so forth, so that you can wear an armband to identify you. So it went right from the Defense Department to the study to prove that people with AIDS have to be isolated. The article goes on, Captain Vernon Chinsky, Program Specialist for Infectious Diseases, in the Medical Research Office of the Defense Department said, if a good research protocol to study the casual transmission of AIDS was seen received by the Army, it would be looked at favorably. Because of the Mr. Shinsky, and the study goes on to say that this is a gloomy scenario of a virus spreading rapidly in the general population, causing public health disasters so dramatic it has the potential to change the face of society. Several hundred million deaths could occur during the next 10 years. My hour is up, and I'll go back next week into the specific articles I've mentioned, and I will begin by completing this article and the implications of military aids and the Hoover Institute and Stanford research on those studies. In the meantime, keep clipping those articles and studying this more carefully, and I'll be back with you next week.